And now I'd like to give the floor to a representative of the Latin American civilization. It is Pepe Escobar, journalist and writer. He prefers calling himself a man of the world, but a man of a multipolar world.
Thank you, Alexander. No, I don't represent anything. I am a nomad. And if I represented somebody, it would be a Scythian from the 5th century BC. More appropriate. Okay, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Slightly different register. It's a long, dark night on the banks of the Danube. There is an army over there. They are camped out, ready for new battles. There is an emperor. The emperor is in his tent and he's writing. You know who I'm talking about, Marcus Aurelius. He's writing the Meditations. So we have a Roman emperor paying tribute to Greek wisdom and not Plato and Aristotle. He's paying tribute to Zeno, Chrysippus, which even at the time they were not very well known. But they were Stoics, they were brilliant, and they were, let's say, the pre-Greek equivalents of the Tao in China. They were Taoists, they were vitalists, they believed in life, they believed in inner strengths and inner equilibrium. They try to understand themselves, and this is what the Roman emperor in question was trying to do at the time. Now, okay, fast forward 2,000 years. What do we get now in Europe, so-called apex of human civilization? I am more a product of Europe than Latin America. Even though I was born in Latin America, my culture, almost everything, came from Europe. So now we have trashy Norwegian warmonger, and we have the toxic Medusa in Brussels as epitomizing the apex of Western civilization. So how come we went so wrong after 2,000 years? Now we had everything. We had Leonardo, we had Michelangelo, we had Montaigne, we had Shelley, who wrote that poets are the unknown legislators of mankind. And now we have this. So forget about these people. It's Eurasia as a whole, don't waste your time with them. It's gonna be a very, very sorry affair. The complete derailment of how European civilization was actually derailed by a so-called political leadership. The most important thing at the moment is to see how the multipolar world is being created right now in front of us. So, June 6, 2024, today, what did we have here in St. Petersburg? We had, for instance, starting at 9 a.m., an absolutely outstanding discussion about the Northern Sea route, which is going to be the death knell of the Suez Canal. It's going to take another few years, but it's inevitable. We had a discussion between the relationship between the Eurasia Economic Union and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, the ASEAN 10. So this could become, in a few years, once again, a union of economic blocks that they don't see themselves as blocks. They see themselves as complementary. So let's say EAEU represents the heartland and ASEAN represents the rimland. So economically, they are merging. And this has already started. Some very simple moves. Let's do a free trade agreement with Vietnam. Done. Let's do a free trade agreement with Indonesia. They are doing it. Soon, they're going to have free trade agreements with all ASEAN 10. So this is how it works, step by step. Then we had an absolutely outstanding discussion about a philosophical concept, by the way. The Greater Eurasia Partnership, which I'm not sure a lot of people, even in Russia, know what it means. It was an idea that was first floated by President Putin in 2016, and Sergei Karaganov more or less conceptualized everything in 2018. It means what it says, a greater Eurasia partnership. This means Eurasia as a whole, the heartland, the rimland, from West Asia, Middle East doesn't exist. It's a stupid British concept. Is that from West Asia to Vladivostok, you know, united, developing, building their corridors of connectivity, building interactions, building what the Chinese correctly describe as people-to-people's exchanges, which is basically, it was the essence of the Silk Road, the ancient Silk Roads. The ancient Silk Roads were Parthians, people from Xi'an, Venetians interacting and doing business. And now in the 21st century, you can do exactly the same thing. And the Chinese, of course, because they pay attention to their fabulous dynastic history, they understood that. And they had the means to implement something that President Putin had said before. Ah, the free trade area from Lisbon to Vladivostok. And the Chinese said, okay, we're going to do it from Xi'an to Madrid. And they have the means to do it. And that's what's so extraordinary. So I'll finish with the philosophy of June 6, 2024 in St. Petersburg. We were not discussing geoeconomics and geopolitics only. Of course, this forum is a geoeconomic forum and also a geopolitical forum. This is very, very serious. And that's why the West simply cannot understand what's going on here. People were discussing philosophical concepts. Greater Eurasia Partnership is a philosophical concept. The Belt and Road Initiative, apart from being a geoeconomics, is also a philosophical concept. It's an idea, and it's a flaming idea, an idea that keeps renewing itself all the time. So Marcus Aurelius writing the Meditations in his by the campfire, nowadays we can say that we have Eurasian equivalents writing the future in flaming ideas in terms of how to build a more equanimous, fair, and legitimate international order. So forget about what they did in the past. Look about the future, and the future is Eurasia, and the future is here.